Let's get the opinions of the man who hosts the Montreal Forum midday show on TSN 690. Tony Marinaro joins us on the Gabriel Pizza Hotline. How are you doing this morning, Tony?
You guys didn't make the playoffs. You didn't make the plan, and you're still teasing the Montreal Canadiens.
That's all we got, Tony. That's all we got at this point.
Thank God you didn't get the first pick overall. The arrogance would have killed us. How are you guys?
Yeah, we're good, thanks. And thanks a lot for coming on. Before I ask you what your thoughts were on last night's game, were you excited to sit down and watch this thing start to finish? Like, are you, like, totally in on hockey right now?
I was. I got to tell you the truth. The only little bit of a downfall is I wasn't on my sofa at home watching it. I was in the stands at the park with my son playing soccer, but watching it on my mobile, Bell 5 app. I watched the entire game. It was kind of weird, right, with no fans in the stands. But, you know, I think the National Hockey League, in terms of the production, all things being considered, and the crowd noise that they put in, I thought it was pretty good. But the one thing that, you know, the players talked about at the end of the game, so was I excited? Yes. But it's kind of like difficult for a fan without any fans in the stands watching. And the players and the coaching staff talked about that as well. You know, that they're going to have to really find a way. You know, they're always motivated to play, of course, but if those fans give them an extra 10% or 20% or 30% adrenaline, now they're going to have to find a way to compensate for that and to, you know, pump themselves up by themselves without those fans. So it was kind of weird. But after 141 days off, man, it was really, really nice to watch.
Tony, I guess you'd almost take the players back to what it would feel like in minor hockey, where the exchange of energy is just going to be between the athletes themselves and, as you said, nothing to do with the fans.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. And the team that's going to be able to, you know, add that element to, you know, their game is the team that's going to go the furthest, the team that's going to be the mentally strongest in terms of, you know, blocking everything out, the team that's willing to put up with all the conditions, the team that's willing to be away from their families, all that, you know, the team that's willing to do all of those things is the team that's going to have the most success.
So you had one eye on your son's soccer game last night, one eye on your cell phone watching the Habs game. From what you were able to ascertain from what you saw from Montreal,
Since it wasn't a game and it was a practice,
yes,
I had both eyes on the Canadiens.
I stand corrected then. I mean, does that team have any chance against a team like Pittsburgh, the team you saw last night at least?
I watched the Pittsburgh game too earlier in the day, and even though they lost against the Philadelphia Flyers, I thought for the first two periods of the game, the pace was really, really impressive. Philadelphia is really good too, by the way. If I had to just season, and based on the one game we saw last night, they got no chance. If I had to give you a different answer, I would tell you that, you know, it's sports, so anybody could beat anybody. You play the first game, and Crosby and Malkin get hurt. If the Canadiens are not going to beat the Penguins at that point, then Houston, we got a problem. So there's a lot of things that can happen in a series, but the Canadiens had so many bad habits during the regular season. A bad habit of giving up a goal in the first minute of a period. And I think their record was 0 wins and 13 losses when they did. They had a bad habit of giving up a shorthanded goal. It happened like 5 times in a game. And I think they lost all 5 games when they did. They had a bad habit of giving up a goal in the final minute of play of a period. And when they did, I don't remember the stat there, but they had lost all their games as well. Like, they haven't won a game when giving up a goal in the first minute, giving up a goal in the last minute, or giving up a shorthanded goal in a game. When either one of those three scenarios happened, they never won a game. Or maybe they won one out of, like, a total of 20 games. And so they did all that again last night. Instead of giving up one shorthanded goal, they gave up two. I mean, you've been off for 141 days. You're excited. You come back, and they, you know, Ben Chiarot pinches. Brendan Gallagher doesn't cover for him. Shea Weber's alone on a 2-on-1. He goes to John Tavares, who's got the puck, and passes, and leaving Mikhailuk alone, Mikhaev, and they score. Like, everything that you can do wrong in a play, they did it after 33 seconds.
Tony, if we're 5 years ago and I was reading all the reports going in, they could end up stealing the series because of Carey Price. Is that still the Carey Price, or is he still just now a good NHL goaltender?
I'd say no, that's not Carey Price anymore. But the National Hockey League players tell you in a poll, for the most part, about 40% of them or whatever it was, voted that Carey Price built the best goalie in the National Hockey League. I want to be fair and tell you that he has an average team, and I want to be fair and tell you that he has an average defense. That's fair. But at the same time, we have to add in another. So is he the goalie that was the goalie 5 years ago when he was 4 years ago, 5 years ago when he won all those individual awards? Or maybe even 6 years ago. Now time flies. I think it was 2014. No, he's not that goalie. But at the same time, I don't think this National Hockey League is a league where a goalie can be as dominant as he was that year when he won all those individual awards. I think offense has taken over the National Hockey League. Offense, speed, youth, skill, enthusiasm. I think those are all things that have taken over the game. I think the game has opened up, and you don't build around goalies anymore. You just don't. You build around franchise centermen, number one centermen. So is he the goalie that he was? I don't think so. I don't think it's the league that it was, though. I don't think he's got a great team. I think it's a combination of many things.
Talking to Tony Marinaro from TSN 690 in Montreal. So the Habs have hoped, since they drafted him, that Jesperi Kotkaniemi can be that number one center, especially a center with some size that they've been waiting for forever. He got to play last night. Again, is it way too early to have any expectations for him for this playoff?
It's way too early, but he's not Brady Tkachuk. It's way too early, but he's not Brady Tkachuk. If that's where we're going to go with this, I think they made the wrong choice. And I know that I shouldn't be saying that when a player is 20 years old or 19 years old and he's the second year of his career. I know I shouldn't be saying that. I know he still will get stronger and bigger, and I know he'll still get faster, and I know he'll still add to his shot. Brady Tkachuk's going to do the same thing, and I understand that Brady Tkachuk's more evolved in his physique, and you didn't ask me about Brady Tkachuk, so, but I'm going there. Look, he showed some flashes yesterday. He actually came back. He's been one of the talks of camp, to tell you the truth, because when the Canadiens broke off, he was sent down to the American Hockey League. He had the sophomore jinx. He had an injury in the offseason. It's twice that he has a knee injury. He showed up to camp the first year around, coming off of a knee injury. His skating suffered. He had another one last year, his skating suffered, and then he'd gone down to Laval, and he suffered a spleen injury, and he's had a ton of injuries, and in my opinion, this player was just rushed into the National Hockey League. And teams do it all the time, and the Canadiens have done it a couple of times with him, and now it's Galchenyuk, but you take a look at some of the players that wait a little bit longer to break into the National Hockey League at 20 or 21. When they get there, they're ready to go. This kid came in, he hit a wall in his first season, and lost 26 or 27 games. He did nothing. He got hammered on one occasion. I think he suffered a concussion. Then he suffered a knee injury. Then he suffered a spleen injury. All within 2 years. When he suffered the concussion, he got tossed to the ice like he wasn't even there. And yes, it was, a big defenseman with Colorado who had 50 or 60 pounds on him. But he wasn't ready to protect himself like guys that come into the league are ready to do when they come into the league at a later age. So, in my opinion, they made the wrong move, and hopefully for him, it's not going to hurt him long-term.
And I look at that, Tony, because I think long-term he could be like David Krejci. He had some of the same issues. You got to wait for the maturity. But is this taking on, for different reasons, a life of its own, similar to Doug Wickenheiser and Denny Savard?
No, I don't think it's to that extent, because Denny Savard had an unbelievable career. Doug Wickenheiser did not. Denny Savard was from Montreal. It's not like they took Jesperi Kotkaniemi to pass on somebody from Montreal. So I think it's a different situation. I understand your point, your question. But no, I think it's different. And look, I think Kotkaniemi will be a good player. but I think Brady Tkachuk's going to score 40 goals. And how many guys are going to score 40 goals in this league? Less than 10?
With Tony Marinaro from TSN 690. So, you know, and I'm sure there's been a huge topic since the unnamed NHL team won the NHL draft lottery. What percentage of people that you talk to every day on your show want the Habs to lose this series against Pittsburgh to give them a 1-8 chance of getting the first pick?
100%. Nobody wants them to win. Nobody. I'm sure Jeff Molson does, and I'm sure Mark Bergevin and Claude Julien, but they don't call my show. But everyone else who calls my show and who texts my show and who tweets me and personal friends who message me, everyone wants them to lose because they figure a 12.5% chance at Lafreniere is 12% more chance than winning the Stanley Cup. And at the end of the day, you play to win the Stanley Cup. And the Canadians have what percent chance to win the Stanley Cup? 0.5%? 1%? What chance do they have? And I understand, you know, the adage is you make the playoffs and everyone's got an equal chance. I get that. And teams that got in late before have gone on great runs. I get that too. But realistically, the Canadians have too many flaws in their game. Yeah, there could be a fan or two that might say, yeah, you know what, the playoffs will be a great experience for some of these young players. Let them go on a run and let them play and gain experience. Which young player is Claude Julien going to play a lot in the playoffs? Kotkaniemi? No. Mete? No. He's only going to play Suzuki. So this run, so that Suzuki can get playing time? No. So to answer your question, everyone I speak to would rather the Canadians lose than give themselves a chance at Lafreniere.
Tony, do you think the league was short-sighted in not allowing Romanov to play? And also, I made the point, at the end of the day, would Claude Julien even play him if he was there? I know he's there, but if he was eligible?
I think he would play him. I think he'd play him ahead of Mete on the left side. Because Kulak is playing with Petrie on the second pairing and Sherratt's playing with Weber, so process of elimination. Romanov being a left-handed defenseman, Mete would be out of luck. Look, I understand the league's position. I just think this is the way I see it. Sometimes there's too much red tape and too much bureaucracy. The Montreal Canadiens drafted Romanov. The Montreal Canadiens signed Romanov to a contract. Let him play, man.
Well, to that, yeah, I mean, how do you explain Robertson? Because I'm on the bandwagon. I'm exactly that, Tony. But how do you explain Robertson playing for Toronto, and why should Romanov not be eligible?
I still don't get it, to tell the truth. I mean, I don't get it. And, you know, in a league, for a league that needs as many people watching as possible, not to say that people are going to tune in just to watch Romanov, but it just gives you an extra added interest to see a player who wasn't with the team coming from another league and to see how he's going to fit in. So, you know, I don't lose any sleep over it. I mean, quite, yeah, to tell the truth, but would have been nice. I mean, I don't get it. If a team drafts a player and they sign a player, I don't care when, I don't care how, I don't care which date, I don't care what age, I don't care where he's from. He belongs to them, and they should be able to use him whenever they want.
All right.
They didn't go to Russia and steal him here.
Yeah, great point.
You know, they get on a plane, kidnap him, and bring him to Toronto, and the authorities are looking for him.
It's not Peter Svoboda at the draft in 85.
No, not Peter Svoboda at the draft in 85.
It's not. All right, what's your prediction for the series?
Yesterday, before watching the Canadiens game, my prediction was, because someone had asked me, and I said Pittsburgh in 5, because I tried to show the Montreal Canadiens as much respect as possible, but this morning I'm leaning more towards 4.
Okay, I was going to say, I thought you were going to say Pittsburgh in 2.
I'll go with 4. I still think they'll find one way to muster out a game. Would I be shocked if they pull this out? Professional sports, anything can happen, but once again, I maintain, you know, winning one series is possible if you don't have the team. It's possible. Winning a Stanley Cup, if you don't have the team, it's just, it's almost impossible. And the goal when you play hockey is to win the Stanley Cup. So if the Canadians are going to play a round or two and then have no chance at Lafreniere because they're not even eligible, I too, like everyone else, would rather see them lose and have a 12.5% chance.
All right. Well, we'll see starting Saturday. Appreciate the time, Tony. Thanks a lot.
Hey, thanks, guys.